Blog Talk Radio.
We want to have just an off-the-cuff chat.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people.
Mm-hmm.
He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
Yes.
And to be joyful mother of children.
Mm-hmm.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of
yes.
the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and picked you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know whatever you might be going through,
yes,
get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you sit. Your present state going to change in 2014, 2015, 2016. Get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yeah.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus.
You,
get ready to set all is well.
Yeah.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you because you know that God set high and look low.
Yeah.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess. He bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
So God is about to lift you up this morning. It reminds me of the prodigal son as he went out and rotten living and spent all his money.
Yes.
He come to himself.
Yes, Lord.
Found himself in a hog pen.
Yes.
And looked around and said, wait a minute. I come to myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I don't pose to be in this condition. I want to tell you, you don't pose to be in the condition you're in.
Yes.
When you come to yourself,
thanks,
you're going to raise up and say, enough is enough.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me. But as we go on today, he looked around and said, I'm in the hog pen with the hogs.
Yes.
Let me paraphrase a little bit for you. You are there hungry. You're there ain't got no job. You're there where all kind of rotten living is going on and you're suffering.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to come to your senses this evening.
Yes.
I want you to come to your senses this morning. I want you to come to your senses. I need to get up and get out and go to the Creator who made me.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And when this young man came to himself, he dusted himself off and pulled what little rags he had up. So I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Thank you, Lord.
To my Father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going back to where Jesus. I'm going back to where food. I'm going back where I can be healed. I'm going back where I can come off of dope, alcohol, and drugs. I'm going back where I got a peace of mind. Somebody, young man, you need to come back. Young woman, you need to come back. Somebody needs to come back to Jesus. You've been in the whole pen too long. You've been down too long. You've been suffering too long. You ought to come on back. As I'm coming back to Jesus, I can imagine in my eye, the young man got ready, and he began to walk down that long corridor, and look at, you know, way made down south, they got big homes, and you can see for miles when you get on the property. When the young man got on his father's property, he felt a little bit better, because he was aching, he was with pain, and cancer set in, sickness and set in, because
you want. This is divine healing tonight. Saturday night, divine healing. I'm praying for you and you. Divine healing means from God. People didn't really devote, but I'm going to play a little of Malcolm X. I'm going to play a little of that with you, Mr. Pitt. Come on, Malcolm.
And the language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. Every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent the person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not one. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elf. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you were an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we love black people, so-called Negroes, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be sold that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a spaceship. In chains. Like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploit, and a common discriminator. But once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them aren't enemies. Time will tell. In Bandung, back in, I think, 1954, was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And what you said happened at the Bandung Conference, and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problems solved. had been known, all the nations came together. There were dark nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslims. Some of them were Christians. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists. Some were socialists. Some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Van Gogh conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in love. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armor that the white man had. But they had unity. They were able to submerge those little petty differences and agree on one thing. That though one African came from Kenya and was being colonized by the Englishmen, and another African came from the Congo and was being colonized by the Belgians, and another African came from Guinea and was being colonized by the French, and another came from Angola and was being colonized by the Portuguese. When they came to the Van Gogh Conference, they looked at the Portuguese, and at the Frenchmen, and at the Englishmen, and at the other Dutchmen, and let them all realize that the one thing that all of them had in common, they were all from Europe. They were all European, blonde, blue-eyed, and white-skinned. They began to recognize who their enemy was. The same man that was colonizing our people in Kenya was colonizing our people in the Congo. The same one in the Congo was colonizing our people in South Africa, and in Southern Malaysia, and in Burma, and in India, and in Afghanistan, and in Pakistan. They realized all over the world where a dark man was being oppressed. He was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize we're in America. We all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. So what we have to do is what they did. They agreed to stop quarreling among themselves. Any little spat that they had, they settled it among themselves. Go into a huddle. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us hearing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet, argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop hearing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one. And then sit down and talk shop with each other. I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There was a difference. Are they both the same? And if they're not, what is the difference? What is the difference between a Black Revolution and a Negro Revolution? First, what is a revolution? Sometimes I'm inclined to believe that many of our people are using this word revolution loosely. without taking careful consideration what this world actually needs and what its historic characteristics are. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the results of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it carried? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way it could get it was bloodshed. The first revolution, what was it based on? The land rent against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. There's no land loss. There's no compromise. There's no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the air. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The land left. Against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I told you were afraid to bleed. As long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls and brothers, you bleed when the white man says bleed. You bite when the white man says bite. And you bark when the white man says bark. I hate to say this about us, but it's true. How are you going to be non-violent in Mississippi as violent as you were in Korea? How can you justify being non-violent in Mississippi and Alabama when your churches are being violent? And your little girls are being murdered? And at the same time, you're going to get violent with Hitler and Tojo and somebody else that you don't even know. If violence is wrong in America, violence is wrong abroad. If it's wrong to be violent, defending black women and black children and black babies and black men, then it's wrong for America to draft us and make us violent abroad in defense of her. And if it is ready for America to test us and teach us how to be violent in defense of her, then it is right for you and me to do whatever is necessary to defend our own people right here in this country. The Chinese Revolution, they wanted land. They threw the British out, along with the Yunkertown Chinese. They set a good example. When I was in prison, I read an article in the book. He shocked me when I said I was in prison. You still in prison. Oh! That's what America means. When I was in prison, I read an article in Life magazine showing a little Chinese girl, 9 years old. Her father was on his hands and knees. She was pulling the trigger. But he was an Uncle Tom in China. When they had the revolution over there, they took a whole generation of Uncle Tom. Just wiped them out. And within 10 years, that little girl became a full-grown woman. No more times in China. And the world is one of the toughest, roughest, most feared countries on this earth. By the white man. Because there are no Uncle Tom's over there. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. And when you see that you got problems, all you have to do is examine the historic method used all over the world by others who have problems similar to yours. And once you see how they got theirs straight, then you know how you can get yours straight. There's been a revolution, a black revolution going on in Africa. In Kenya, the Mau Mau were revolutionary. They were the ones who made the word of who. They were the ones who brought it to the fore. The Mau Mau, they were revolutionary. They believed in scorched earth. They not put a thing aside that got in the thing. And their revolution also was based on man, a desire for land. In Algeria, northern part of Africa, a revolution took place. The Algerians were a revolution. They wanted land. France offered to let them be integrated into France. They told them that France to hell with France. They wanted some land, not some land. And they engaged in a bloody battle. Why fight these various revolutions, brothers and sisters? To show you, you don't have a peaceful revolution. You don't have a turn the other cheek revolution. There's no such thing as a non-violent revolution. Only kind of revolution is non-violent is the Negro revolution. The only revolution based on loving your enemy is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution in which the goal is a desegregated lunchcounter, a desegregated theater, a desegregated park, and a desegregated public toilet. You can sit down next to white folks on the toilet. That's no revolution. Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. The white man knows what a revolution is. He knows what the black revolution is worldwide, in scope, and in nature. The black revolution is sweeping Asia, sweeping Africa. It's growing its head in Latin America. The Cuban Revolution, that's a revolution. They overturned the system. Revolution is in Asia. Revolution is in Africa. And the white man is screaming because he sees revolution in Latin America. How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is? You don't know what a revolution is. If you did, you wouldn't use that word. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. And you sitting around here like a knot on the wall saying, I'm going to love these folks no matter how much they hate me. No, you need a revolution. Whoever heard of a revolution where a lot of times, as Reverend Cleve was pointing out beautifully, saying we shall overcome. Just joking, you don't do that in a revolution. You don't do any singing, you're too busy swinging. Based on land. A revolutionary wants land so he can set up his own nation, an independent nation. These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. We want a nation.
That's Malcolm X. This is the Lion Hill. Your mind has to be here. Don't forget, go to my website, RussCavanGroup.com, if you want to plant a seed. If you got a need to plant a seed, I want to thank those that are listening tonight. Or else you can go to Cash Out and hit Money Sign and Bishop T.T. and get that. You can go right to Cash Out. God bless you tonight. I'm going to bring some. Me and Jerry was doing a little talking. I want to play a little bit tonight. Teaching you how to be strong, where you got to learn how to heal, because All black folks got gifts, but they don't know it. They've been cowed down. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God eternal life. I'm praying for every family that lost loved ones. They got shot, they got killed, and lost loved ones because their mind messed up. The devil come to kill and destroy. He will destroy your children, your husband, your wife. And tonight, on this Saturday, I want to take back all that the devil stole. And you can't do it that you got the word of God. Sister Pearl in Detroit, I'm glad to see you, Sister Pearl. Sister Pearl, I want you to get your seed in quick, fast, and in a hurry. Yeah, you haven't been on in a while. You know, I want you to stay consistent. What I'm saying to you tonight, when you listen to what we said, because I'm going to start a class where you can get your certificate, where you can know where you can be, reach out and help somebody else. Reach one, touch one, heal one. And we're talking about all over the world. I've talked with Brother White. I mean, this thing's all over the world. And see, God told Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God told David that a man left his own heart. And his son Solomon built the temple. And Solomon with Proverbs, that's Solomon, David's son. So you got to understand all, when you get the Bible, you get wisdom. People have been here and they live. I'm praying for you, Dr. Christian. I'm praying for you, Brother Joe. Lisa, I'm praying for you. I want you to get what I was talking to Brother Eddie. He said, Bishop, since I started my business, I make more money now. All that, when that phone rings, they make the order. When they come to me, I give to them the money that went in the bank. The trillion flow. I want everybody to be rich. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to know the wisdom of God and the anointing of God. You have to walk a certain way. You got to be in a certain way. This is every Saturday night we have divine healing. On Monday, Dr. King's movement. On Tuesday, Co-host Answers. On Wednesday, divine word, okay? This is divine healing. Cataracts, tumors, high blood. You can get healed. And I was talking to a young man. He had been cursed from when he was in college. And then nobody told him that what was wrong with him. He went to doctor to doctor. Once he came to the prophet, and the prophet got together, thank you, Bishop Ross, and prayed for this boy. He got delivered. He was possessed for 20 years. Dope, cocaine. He said, I don't know why I'm using it. Because that demon wanted him to crave that. He craved that with the drugs and all that's going on. God is divine. God is able to heal your son, your brother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife. Get ready for a divine breakthrough. It's all in God's hand. I just want to say that tonight. Whatever you're going through in God's hand, but you got to release and let it go. Now you sit there and speak to the King of God. Proverbs 22:167. Thank you, Marguerite. Here up in Minnesota, thank you. Here in Western, thank you. Next, and yet we see what's going to be here. Lisa and George, I'm going to be here. God see all, and God see all the Moses in him, all my God. And I'll give you the way God see all in your hands. You get your nothing down, you gotta get up. I'm talking to Pastor Evan. Pastor Evan, if you went to Las Vegas, you get a design in my place. And God will put it in your hands to make your people. Mm-hmm. God will be a part of you, Yahweh. Tomorrow, we bring you up in the Detroit. Mayor Hoffman, please, we God bless you. Tonight, we will be up to hell. I want you to read Psalm 27, Proverbs 35. So we can keep teaching the night. Tomorrow night, tomorrow I'll be making to prayer. Sunday morning, we to be here. I'm at a lot of things that I'm not going to go to. I'm not going to let nothing just keep me from divine healing. The lady had breast cancer. She put two bottles on her breast. She said the healing vision got healed. The man laid the doctor there. He stayed in his back. He got a Bible and slept on it, and he was healed. The word of God was here in him, and the word of God was really quick for us in the world. The Spirit told me to say, if anybody needs a special prayer, raise your hand up, just touch the dial, and I want to put you on a prayer list tonight. God can heal you right now, man. Woman, I don't care what the doctor said. Doctor always going to give you some bad news. But God can heal you. Before I go back to playing the music, maybe you need somebody to pray with you that can get the prayer through. If anybody, I don't care high blood, low blood sugar, I don't care what the doctor give you, God can heal you. This young man told me this morning he had cancer all over his body, and his family gave him up. He's a bishop. I was in the hospital, and I said, I'm going to beat this. God got me. This is a white guy. Do you know he up and walking now when the doctor said, gave him 3 days to live and put him in hospital. Sometimes the worst thing you do is put you in hospital because that kills you. They stop giving you medicine. And they give you that necklace. You're going to die. You better go on and get your will together. It's not over till God says it's over with. Y'all don't hear me. I'm going to say it again. It's all in his hand. And you got to let God do what he's supposed to do. Tell you there ain't nothing that God can't do. So it's all in the room. I see some hands up, but I want to tell you tonight, I'm praying And when we come together and pray together, things happen. You know, Mr. White working on the British invention, working on that as I speak now, and he just has to come out the closet with it. You know what I'm saying? What I mean by that, got to bring it to the people. God told Moses, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God told Isaac, and bring the truth, okay? So when God gives you a job, he going to back you up 100%. And the reason you can't get healed, you won't give up what you're doing. You got to ask God with a pure heart, God heal me, cataract tune. Ain't nothing too hard because God said, I'll take that stony heart and put a heart, a flesh in you. And if you got the blood of Jesus, oh, good God Almighty, if you got the blood of the Almighty God, ain't nothing that yoke the blood. When you claim you got the blood of Jesus, you run every naked tissue out of your organs, out of your veins, out of your cells. That cancer cell, you run it out. Some other cell will run it out. Yeah, but this thing is real. Ain't no preacher been talking about your healing. Oh, I got rheumatism. One lady said, her bishop, the doctor said, I got rheumatism. That's why I make out a baby. You got to let God and stop listening to what man said, because God got the last word. One man said, he can't stretch his hands, like his hands cramp up. And the doctor said, he got to search out the brother. You don't need to search your hands. You need to lift your hands up to God. I know y'all said, it's crazy. It's always crazy to scientists. Always crazy to them that looking at everything, they want to say why it rained, where it stormed. The sun set, the sun rise. God did that. You know, I don't care what the scientists say. I don't care what nobody said. God controlled the universe. And I want to tell you tonight, it's all in his hand. And the reason you don't let it be in his hand, you do not give over to God. You got to give everything over to God to get what you want. So I want to tell you tonight, it's all in God's hand. And when you let go, Freddie Taylor up in Minnesota, I'm praying for you, happy birthday to you, 90 years old, jumping up and down and shouting, jumping rope. You tell me what God can do. Noah, Moses was 160 years old. He was going strong. And I'm going to tell you women, he didn't have no, I want to tell you men, there was nothing wrong. He didn't have no Viagra. I want to tell you women, when God gave him the power, everything he was born with, he had. Okay, I want you to know that. Sometimes you get off and trying to get one young lady that went somewhere and got a booty lift, and she went to somebody in the back, and like in the woods, somebody that was crooked. They filled her booty full of cement. Drop. The whole butt drop. Stop trying to make yourself over. When God made you fat, my grandmother said, you're fat and fine. If you're skinny, you're skinny and fine, okay? Stop trying to make yourself over. Taking a few, taking shots in your nose, changing your nose, trying to change that. If God made you that way, man, you stay that way. Glory, hallelujah. It's all tonight. In his hand. Divine healing. Get ready, Brother White. I'm going to bring you on in a minute, Brother White. Oh, Brother White, God bless you. We're talking about healing tonight. We bring Brother White on. You're on now, Brother White. Brother White, all the way from Mississippi, divine healing. And he said he had something to say tonight.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on now. Hold on.
Okay. What I want to say to the people tonight is that this is just the beginning. And I know it seems a little slow right now, but hopefully by next week things will be so people can get on the internet, get the Weird Adventure, start reading it every day. But what we can do now is that I want to give you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Write that down. And you want to meditate on that every day. And you want to do, that's the scripture that says, who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. So you want to have that in you. Now what you're doing is, You're preparing the soul man's mind. See, God didn't change the soul man, but he's adopted, the soul man is adopted as a brother of our wisdom. So that's who our wisdom talks to the soul man. But see, if the soul man's mind is not one with our wisdom, then things don't go as they should go. So when you meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, what you're doing is you are developing the mind of the soul man as the mind of Christ, which is already in you, talking to the
brother,
soul man, talking to our wisdom, who is talking to you,
brother,
then there's a better relationship.
Will you read that scripture for you, which you just quoted? Read that scripture for us.
Okay. I quoted it. It says, hold on just a moment. Let me get it on the Bible here. Hold on.
Yeah, because sometimes people, I got about three people called in. One is New York. Says she want to get surgery on her knees. But she says she don't feel like she needs it. I said, you don't feel like you need it.
And while I get that one on the line, they can begin Philippians 3:3-2. Okay, hold on. Let me get my Bible and pull it up.
Well, he's getting the Bible. You got to have faith in God, and divine healing means directly from God. You ain't got to. When I said divine healing, you ain't got to go to no doctor. God can do it, but you got to walk in faith. You got to trust God with all your mind. Tonight, I want to claim your healing, whatever it is. I claim your healing tonight. Sometimes you got to plant a seed for your healing. Say, here's my offering for my healing. This is a seed for my son or my daughter or my family to get. Sometimes you have to see for the harvest that God will give you. The widow woman had to see. Abraham had to see. Daniel in the line then seeded with prayer, and the lion could not eat him up. Rakshak and the Abednego, they had to see prayer. They said, we ain't going to bow. You've got to stay strong. Did you find it, Brother White? He's still looking
I'm ready now.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Go on.
This is 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, 16th verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct them, him. But we have the mind of Christ. See, you have to have the mind of Christ in order for God to instruct you, in order for Jesus to instruct you. You have to have that mind. And the only way you can have that mind is by meditating on that scripture. And when you meditate on that mind, see, what happens is Satan can't come in and interfere with you receiving. See, there's two ways of receiving God's word. In Proverbs 1:2 tells you, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And this is you were talking about understanding. God is understanding. And Proverbs 9:10b says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Well, all you got to do is ask yourself one question. For coronavirus, what scripture do you have for coronavirus? If you don't have a scripture for coronavirus, then you're listening to man. God gets angry with that kind of stuff. I don't want to sway off, but when I start talking, God started revealing things to me. If you go to, write this scripture down before you go to it. If you go to First John, Little John, third chapter, the eighth verse, it's going to tell you, it says, the devil was sent, from the beginning. It's going to tell you also that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Then it tells you in Big John, chapter 14, verse 10, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall we do also. See, we should be doing the works of Jesus. Jesus should be manifesting in us. We should not be saying, oh, Lord, help me. There, you know, cry. That's not what God wants you to do. He has given you power.
Power.
Matter of fact, he has given himself to you. If you read, that's what the word invention is all about. And brothers and sisters, when you understand the word invention, you're gonna shun up, know you got some power. Because God is saying, my son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee. And all you gotta do is ask and say, God, why do you want me to receive your word? Why do you want me to hide your commandments with me? And he's gonna tell you Proverbs 2:2, when you speak with those three scriptures that he command you to speak so that you can receive his word and hide your commandment in me, he's going to really deal with you because he's going to let you know that I want you to do this so that I can not take over your life, but guide your life and sit back and relax and let you do everything that I tell you to do and let you fulfill my command in you in Proverbs 3:5, where it says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And the key to that is receiving the mind of Christ. So you write that 1 Corinthians 2:16 down and write Philippians 3:3, which says, let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who in the image of God, Jesus being in the image of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, why would the scripture tell you, let that mind be in you if it wasn't in you? So when you speak those two scriptures, I give you a week, you're going to end up with the mind of Christ. And then when you get the mind of Christ, you're going to be under the influence of every time that I wisdom speak to you, you're going to know he's an I wisdom, your adopted brother. And when you understand that God wants you to speak in tongues, you're going to understand then that God is what's happening then is that your adopted brother is talking, is willing, our wisdom brother, to talk to God for the house. That's the body. You're going to see some results. God will let you see that he ain't joking with you. He ain't playing around with you. And I'm just so glad that I heard Bishop was saying that, see, whatever God put forth in his messenger, he going to back him up. And all you got to do to find out if his messengers are for real, you got to do. You can't sit back and say, "Oh, he a false prophet." That ain't gonna work. You gotta do what God has instructed them to tell you to do, and God gonna verify what they're saying, and then you gonna understand that. Hey, look, it's all left up to you. I mean, you've been asking God to do this, but God wants you to do what he done told you to do.
Amen.
He said, trust in him with all your heart. He ain't telling you to keep coming to him, asking him this, asking him that. Matter of fact, if I want to be frank with you, Proverbs 3:5 and 3:6, if you try to do that, God's going to reveal to you that he's the one who has to bring, he brings to my memory through John 14:26. Every time something happened to me, he tell me, he brings it to me and tell me, put me in remembrance of what I'm supposed to do. And that's what he'll do for you. He don't have no respect for person. He told
Amen.
Me the purpose and through him and through Luke 6:38 for my life. That's the first thing you should do. You should go to him and speak to him and say, Father, I thank you for the messenger that the prophet gave to me, that I should speak to you and say, I thank you for Luke 6:38 and our purpose through Luke 6:38 for the most precious thing in my life. And that is my life. Brothers and sisters, I beg you to do it. Please do it. Because if you don't do it, you leave yourself open to be shot down by the police. And they're going to do it because you got them out there. They don't know that if you read Proverbs chapter 1, they don't understand that they're going straight to hell. It ain't no recourse for them, because when you purposely go out and kill somebody innocently, you lost. You gone.
Cursed.
Now, you can believe me if you want to, but if you read Proverbs chapter 1, God will reveal to you that, hey, look, this mess that you're doing, when he done made you aware of the fact that you're doing it, and you know you're doing wrong, you better turn around. I'm telling you now, I ain't telling you what somebody told you.